Oh yeah, feel the madness, NCAA, you owe me money, cause you've stolen my gimmick. March Madness, Macho Madness, I think it all sounds pretty similar, Chris Walder. So what I want you to do is I want you to get a good attorney and get this case going. Get it solved before the whole too sweet one. I don't want the WWE first in line. I want the Macho Man first in line. You got it? Dig it!
All right, man, I got it. You can keep the madness to yourself. I don't even want to talk about March Madness at this point. My bracket is a bloody crime scene. Let's just put that in the past.
It was quite the day with March Madness, wasn't it? I am James Warmath. Guy does the Macho Man voice. I was going to say Macho Madness. I'm mad. I don't know. Chris Walder, we are like, what is it, 9 days away from WrestleMania?
Yeah, it's somewhere along those lines.
I don't care! I really don't. I'm trying to care. I don't care. I hear more and more people just like me depressed at the whole thought of this card of WrestleMania in general. I really don't care. The most exciting news of this week, I think, was they're doing an NXT show on the Friday. If you're going there, you can check out NXT at 10 p.m. on a Friday at, I believe it's like the San Jose State Arena where their basketball team, I assume, plays.
Yeah.
So that's the most exciting news of the week to me, I think. Although Kevin Owens won't be there because, he had to have his knee scoped or whatever he had to have done. Meniscus fixed up. But sounds like he'll be back in plenty of time. He's just going to miss the live event at WrestleMania, which is sad for Kevin. But, you know, as long as he keeps that belt, that's all I care about.
Our boy is injured. This is a very depressing time on Condo on the Moon, man. We got to have like a memorial for his knee at this point, even though it's just 4 to 6 weeks. Any time without Kevin Owens is bad time.
No, he'll still come out there and talk. That'll be the thing. With Kevin, that's a great thing.
More promos.
He never has to really leave. He can talk his way through weeks and weeks of television. We did see him on the television put an end to Alex Riley's wrestling career, more or less. Won the match fairly convincingly. Had to stare down with Finn Balor. That was an interesting show because it was all stuff they taped at the Columbus show at the Arnold thing. And boy, oh boy, that crowd was invested. They knew it all. It was even better than the Florida crowd, in my opinion, because they seemed more jacked to be there. I think the Florida people, they're always excited and all that, but they've even gotten a little malaise because they get to see it all the time. The people that got to see it in Columbus, they were jacked up, not just for Kevin Steen, but for, you know, Enzo and Kaz when they came out, their whole bit. Hometown Alexa Bliss came out there for a match with the Boss. I thought the crowd was all jacked up, and I mean, listening to Triple H, developmental system over. This is a touring brand. Independence, including the ROHs of the world, beware, because NXT is coming.
Well, they're also doing a show coming up at, I don't know if it's over WrestleMania weekend, at the ECW Arena, right? When's that taking place?
No, that is, the story with that is, and this may explain why ROH is having those odd dates in Philadelphia for, not best, their New Japan shows, which is War of the Worlds, right?
Yeah,
they're doing that Tuesday and Wednesday at said ECW Arena. Reason being, WWE has the building set aside, in other words, paid for the weekend, for the Friday-Saturday.
So that's going to be NXT then?
Assumedly, they're going to run an NXT show one of those nights, but maybe they were just doing it to screw with ROH. Who knows? The point is, the WWE seems to be a player now on the independent scene, which should make every independent promoter just sweating bullets. Because, I mean, you can't compete with the WWE. ROH can to a degree. They have Sinclair. Everybody else should be in total fear. Like, if you're PWG, what's to stop NXT from coming next year when it's supposed to be the Battle of Los Angeles? Nothing.
Yeah, and they're getting a good kick out of screwing with all these independent companies right now because they're giving opportunities to all of these independent stars. I mean, you can make more money working for Ring of Honor or PWG, but you head over to NXT, you have the chance to crack WWE's main roster, and now they have the luxury of not bringing in the talent. Now they can have these shows booked alongside the Ring of Honors and PWGs of the world. So it's a good time. There's a lot of places to work these days.
I think only the top talent can make more than what they can make in the WWE. I think that should be stressed. I think if you're an Adam Cole, a Young Bucks, a this or that, you can probably make more than at the WWE right now. But other than those guys, I don't think that's true. And, hey, if NXT starts coming in and wiping these places out, the idea of making more money on the indies won't be out there for much longer. Because the indies won't be as big and won't have as much money to spend, quite frankly.
Well, it's the Adam Coles and the Young Bucks that WWE is searching for. You're not seeing, you know, some of the lesser talent, with all due respect, in those companies.
So you're saying Cheeseburger's never going into WWE. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
You're like, soccer, yeah.
You're bagging on Cheeseburger. That's what you're doing right now.
You singled him out, buddy, not me.
You're the one who did it. You said they're only looking for a certain type of people.
Yeah, wait, do you want to see Cheeseburger in NXT?
Hey, if you can have blue pants in NXT, I think Cheeseburger can go.
Rebrand him as Vegetarian Burger or something, a hamburger.
No, maybe he could be part of the outfit. We have blue pants. He could be red shirt.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
This is why I didn't get the job with WWE. Ideas like this.
Yeah, see, I'm more on the length of them. You're a millennial, too. Like, let's get that out there. You're one of these millennials that has ruined WrestleMania.
I've been tainted since birth, James.
You have been, and you're Swiss. We've discussed this. Just terrible for you.
Absolutely.
As far as the WWE is gone, I mean, you know, I just don't know if you have a future with that company.
Well, as long as they should hire you, then all of your brainy ideas, making Cheeseburger red shirt.
Hey, you know, I mean, I have lots of ideas, but to my credit, I could not have come up with a 24-minute documentary that's so brilliantly illustrated Triple H's career like Wrestling Isn't Wrestling did. I don't have that in me.
I haven't seen that yet. Me and James talked about this before the podcast, this video that's like taking over the internet, this 24-minute thing. It was Wrestling Is Wrestling and all the cameos.
No,
and
Wrestling Isn't Wrestling.
Oh, Wrestling Isn't Wrestling. There you go. I haven't seen it yet, folks. Cut me some slack.
It's fantastic. I recommend it. If you haven't seen it, go out of your way. I know it's 24 minutes long. I know you're a millennial like Chris Walder. It's worth the 24 minutes, folks. If you are, I'll preface it by saying this. I think it's more worth your 24 minutes if you are a big fan of Triple H or a big hater of Triple H. Because either way, I think you'll find amusement in the presentation. Because basically, this is a documentary using Triple H as the example of why wrestling is no longer wrestling, and it's basically using his career to make this case, and it's very funny and well done. I mean, just outstanding.
Actually, I did see like a couple of clips of it. They had some females playing Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, right?
Females play all the male roles, China is actually a man. So there you go.
All right, I can find some humor in that.
Yeah, they were very careful to make sure the WWE can do nothing about this.
Right.
It was clearly well thought of that the WWE might have a problem with this video.
Well, it's a parody, right? They can't sue them for that.
Well, no, but they went above and beyond out of their way to make sure the WWE could do nothing to take this down.
How so, though?
By having the girls in the roles, by not specifically referencing events, like everything, it's well thought out to be, like the person who made this, whose name escapes me at this time, but the person who made this was clearly smart to what the WWE would go after, and knew how to get around that.
Well, WWE likes removing videos. I used to do some stuff for some videos for WrestlingRumors.net, and months after the fact, WWE, we couldn't even access it anymore because we infringed on something. So I can only imagine the lengths this guy had to go to make sure that he didn't get kicked off of YouTube. So good for him. This thing is huge. I have yet to see it. I'm one of the few wrestling fans out there. So hit it up on YouTube. Look it up.
And speaking of the WWE's nature of not liking things and being just general jerks, those fans at Raw, why? Like, they're all dressed up like old school wrestlers. Macho Man, Ric Flair, Boss Man, IRS, all of this. Immediately, they get zapped by the WWE producers saying, hey, listen, you put on this John Cena shirt or you're out of here and you're out your $100 you spent for your ticket. I mean, what the hell is wrong with them?
It's becoming the NFL. It's like the No Fun League, right? Like, you see these guys in the stands. Their costumes are awesome. I saw pictures of them, but obviously WWE felt that they might be distracting from the in-ring product. But all I have to say to that is make your in-ring product more exciting so fans aren't looking into the stands to see some quirky guys wearing some silly costumes.
Even if they were distracting, who cares?
But they weren't, though. It was just the costumes. They weren't, like, causing a ruckus or anything.
But even if they were, if the WWE wants to say, oh, they were a distraction and all that, you know what? I still say, who cares? Those 10 guys made it cool to be at a WWE event. When you see those 10 guys, you think, God, that's fun. That would be fun to be a part of that. And that's what, not just the WWE fights, I think pro sports fights this now, because it is so easy to sit in your home with your HD television, your bowl of popcorn, your pop, not having to pay for parking, not having to pay for any extras and frills, and watch an event. It's so easy nowadays. And when these guys come out, they spend $100 for tickets to sit in the front row, they spend money to have costumes, for gosh sakes, and you're turning them away, that's stupid. They're advertising for your product. Don't turn them away. Spotlight those guys. I would have went, and if I was in Guerrero, I would have said, any spot that's outside the ring, in front of those guys, all night long.
You know there's going to be some crazy fans at WrestleMania sitting in those first 10 rows that are going to be wearing those costumes, because this story made it. It was mainstream. I think, like, Fox Sports picked it up, too.
Yeah, FoxSports.com.
Yeah, like, it's unbelievable. So I can't wait to see WrestleMania, a bunch of pallbearer impersonators and some people wearing some, you know, like you said, big boss man get-ups or whatnot. It's just forcing, you know, people to just want to do it more. They want to see how WWE is going to react.
Yeah, I mean, and they go on their nonsense about confiscating signs and this and that and the other. I mean, they're the ones that started all this. Back in the Attitude Era, it was, oh, I remember Jim Ross would say it every week, you know, it's your freedom of speech, America, and all that jazz and all that bullshit. Well, you know what? You created the environment now because you don't like it, because you're some corporate stick-in-the-mud company. Don't blame the fans that have been brought up to say, yeah, bring your signs, dress up, have a great time. And now, all of a sudden, you can't do that.
Well, remember when wrestling used to be fun? Yeah, now not so much. We're stunting your creativity, folks. It's not what it used to be.
Like those 10 guys, they're not the 10 guys that are on Twitter bashing the product and, like, upset with everything. They're not those guys. Because, I mean, I just couldn't imagine myself going to a wrestling event dressed up like that.
Well, you should do that for the Ring of Honor show.
In May? No, I don't think so. I'm going with my buddy who I went to high school with. We haven't hung out in a long time. That would be weird if I dressed up, I think.
Who would you dress up as, though?
From Ring of Honor?
Yeah, if you had to dress up as a Ring of Honor guy, who would it be?
It would be funny if I dressed up as Adam Cole.
You could just dress up as Kevin Steen.
Yeah, I could pull off Kevin Steen, no problem.
There you go.
That would be not an issue for me.
Now if I ever go to a WWE show or a Ring of Honor show again, I want to dress up as somebody. I want to go all
we
out.
We should
like those
go
times.
To a WWE show dressed up as ROH people. That's
oh,
what
man,
we should
that's
do.
What kicked me out.
Yeah, the next NXT call-ups are here.
I'll put on my gloves and put X's over them and dye my hair black, have some mascara, just old school CM Punk, man. They'll love that.
Anyway, seeing as we're speaking of Ring of Honor, they got a show going a week to this very day down in that area where WrestleMania will be. It goes in Redwood City, California, which I assume is somewhere close to San Jose. And as we mentioned, they've had to kind of speed things up. We're getting Jay Briscoe and Samoa Joe for the world title at this event, given that Joe is leaving for the WWE pretty much after this event from all the reports out there. And Jay Briscoe might not be all that far behind him from what we're hearing, because both the Briscoe brothers, it would appear when their contracts run out in the summer, are WWE bound.
Yeah, we're going to fast forward through this entire storyline. I mean, you thought that it was going to be later in the, you know, in the summer or whatnot.
Well, it was written up to be their pay-per-view. I mean, the way they ended the last pay-per-view, that was totally designed to be the next pay-per-view main event to me.
But here we are, Samoa Joe, Jay Briscoe. You know, like you said, Samoa Joe heading to the big-time NXT, and then we still, I mean, there's still no word yet if the Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe stories are valid or not. There seems to be more of a claim to Samoa Joe leaving, but yeah, Jay Briscoe might be dropping the title a couple of shows after, so get your fix in now, because this might be one of the last matches you see of both guys in Ring of Honor.
Probably the June show, like the next pay-per-view. I would say that's when Jay Briscoe would have to drop the belt.
Would be a good time, yeah. I wonder who he'd drop it to.
Either that or in May. But they have all the New Japan stuff in May, so it might be tricky.
Yeah.
But anyway, we have lots of time to talk about that. We'll talk about that another day. The rest of this card, Jay Lethal, he got it through Alberto El Patron. Now, Japanese legend Jushin Thunder Liger challenging Jay Lethal for the World Television title.
Wow, he made it, Jay Lethal. I love all these big-time matches he's getting. Good for him.
Yeah, it is good for him, because Jay deserves it. And, the first time around with Japan, he wasn't really getting the love that I think he deserved. Anyway, ROH World Tag Team titles, My Boys, The Kingdom, with Marie Kanellis. They were taking on Red Dragon for the titles. This is what we talked about on this very program with both Matt Taven and Michael Bennett. It is coming to reality, and oh, by the way, I heard Adam Cole talking on an interview. Adam probably back soon. Maybe as soon as next Friday? Could happen.
That's what I like to hear.
Could happen. We'll see if he gets involved in that tag team match, but three of the members of the Kingdom definitely will be, as Michael Bennett and Matt Taven, along with Maria Kanellis, taking on Red Dragon. Should be a good one. BJ Whitmer versus Jimmy Jacobs as the decade continues to implode. Michael Elgin taking on Frankie Kazarian. That should be a fun match. Not a lot of build to it, but just two guys who can go in the ring. And Christopher Daniels versus Roderick Strong, same kind of thing. Also signed to appear on this card, Mark Briscoe, Matt Sydal, and ACH, and plus more. And with WrestleMania weekend, what plus more could mean, who knows? Pretty much every wrestler on the planet will be in that area. Let's just put it that way. So, who knows who could come out.
Are we going to be talking about the Jimmy Jacobs story about apparently heading over to WWE?
Who knows? Him too now?
He's going to be, he signed a deal to be a part of the creative team.
Oh, okay. Well, that would make sense. He has been a long-standing rosebud.
Yes, he has. But when you're a rosebud, that means you could be writing for the company.
Well, clearly, the rosebuds are the most creative thing on WWE TV. I will say this. Go and seek it out. Jimmy Jacobs did an interview with The Law not too long ago. I want to say about 3 months ago. This is a guy that really thinks out of the box. Like, thinks on a totally different level from anyone I've ever heard speaking about modern professional wrestling. I'm not sure what he would come up with would be good, but it'll definitely be different from what they're getting right now at WWE.
Has a high wrestling IQ, and obviously he has a mind of a guy who's been in the independents for his entire career, so he's going to be a huge benefit for them, but it seems like more and more people are just kind of coming in and out of the creative team, so I don't know how much longevity he'll have, but I think it's a terrific opportunity. He's kind of, you know, accomplished all he can accomplish in Ring of Honor, and I think this is, he's not going to be an in-ring performer, I would think, but being a part of the writing team for the biggest wrestling company in the world, hats off to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool gig, but as we've learned from Court Bauer and others, it's the longevity thing that's the hard thing with that.
Well, we're wishing them the best of luck, of course. Any Ring of Honor guy who makes it up to WWE, we're behind them 100% here at Condo on the Moon.
Yeah, apparently that's who took your job, Walder. That's
yeah. I'm still waiting for that email that says, "Hey, not only did we not hire you, but we hired someone actually who's wrestled before."
Well, you see, here's my theory. They wanted someone who could actually pull their hair out, and you have no hair. Jimmy Jacobs has lots of hair to pull out.
That's a shot. I can pull out, like, my facial hair. I still got some there.
It's not a shot coming from me, Walder, because as many people know, I don't have hair either.
That's true. Actually, you're more bald than I am. I actually have some stuff going on. You just went all the way, right?
Actually, right now, I actually have a ton of hair. I'm, like, in, like, waiting for spring mode. I haven't had anything to do where I've had to go out in public mode, so I'm kind of very caveman Daniel Bryan-like.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I need to see you with hair, buddy. I have.
Oh no, that's not happening. Because I just have like the George Costanza horseshoe when hair grows in. That's why it doesn't stay for very long. At least it doesn't stay for public appearances.
Hey, George Costanza got all the ladies on Seinfeld, so looking like him.
Yeah, you know what? In all honesty, totally off topic, but George Costanza, for what he looks like and his whole character on Seinfeld, he did very well for himself.
Yes, he did.
Like, let's be honest. I had laser surgery, so I used to be the guy with the glasses, too. So, being the portly man with glasses, balding, you don't get women like that. That doesn't happen in life.
He gave us false hope.
Yeah.
That's what he did. He set the bar so high that it got to the point where we're like, okay, there's no way this is true.
Yeah. You know, well, until Nikki Bella said she was the female Rock, then, well, you know, everything went out the window. Monday Night Raw, I don't remember much of it, to be honest with you.
Really? You just kind of zoned out Raws from now on. This is the case every week. We're like, can we run down Raw? Well, I forgot like 3/4 of it.
Well, it's been so boring and mundane. Brock obviously talked and had some things to say and was typical unfiltered Brock Lesnar. And the story for the world title match has completely changed. No one cares about Roman Reigns now. It is completely about, is Brock Lesnar going to be here like in the next week after WrestleMania?
Right. We're just beyond the fact. There's actually a legit chance now that Brock Lesnar could retain the belt. I think like you said, that's more interesting than, you know, well, Roman Reigns might walk out as champion. Well, no one wants to see that.
I think he's retaining the belt regardless if he gets the contract or not. I think he's going to lose the belt on Monday.
Really?
I really do, because I think they're in such a pickle here with everyone thinking Brock's gone. The only way to counteract it is to say, well, is he gone? Because we're going to have him win. And then you get your ratings for Monday.
Well, he's going to be there regardless. He's signed.
Yeah, he is signed, but I still think if he lost, there's no interest in the Monday show.
Unless you do a Money in the Bank cash-in.
Yeah, but I still think the Monday show suffers when you realize Brock Lesnar's left the company. Because I think the one scenario that I don't see happening is Roman Reigns winning that belt and Brock Lesnar remaining as part of this company.
Even so, if Roman Reigns wins, you think there's zero chance Lesnar shows up on Raw?
He could show up on Raw to finish out his dates, but I think he's done with the company. I don't think he's filling out his contract and he's going to UFC.
So we'll base his contract extension on whether or not he leaves WrestleMania with the title. That's what we're saying.
Well, no, because I think he still could leave if he leaves WrestleMania with the belt. What I'm saying is, I'm prolonging people figuring it out until Monday. Like, okay. The average person. I mean, it's going to break online. We know that.
Yeah.
But the average person who doesn't pay attention to that stuff, I want them going into Monday Night Raw not knowing if Brock Lesnar's part of this company or not.
Touche. That's a smart way to book things.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Seth does have the briefcase. You can do something funky with the briefcase. Brock loses the title. He goes bye-bye to the UFC. And we move on.
Yeah, there you go. People are going to tune into the Raw after WrestleMania anyways. That's just as cool as WrestleMania itself. And like you said, with the way WrestleMania has been booked, Raw will probably be the better show.
It's becoming the better show. It's becoming the thing to go to.
Yeah.
Like in all honesty, like WrestleMania, up until a couple weeks ago, hadn't sold out. I don't know where they're at now.
Mm-hmm.
But they hadn't sold out the San Francisco 49ers Stadium, Levi's Stadium. I'm going to guarantee Raw's sold out. I don't even have to look it up. Like, it's become the super nerd event of the year.
Well, because all the fans who come in from overseas buy tickets to Raw as well. And we saw that last year when Daniel Bryan was getting those insane chants, and you look in the stands, and it's pretty much like 99% men.
I think it really started the year that Bryan got screwed in the Sheamus match. That was the year that Monday Night Raw took on a whole different level of what it was the night after WrestleMania. It's always been big, but I think that made it bigger.
Yeah. And then the following year when Brock Lesnar was there, of course, that kind of just pushed home the thought that, yeah, this is going to be a mostly smart crowd, you know. Like I said, overseas guys coming in just chanting for whatever the hell they want. And that's when, you know, Fandangoing started, too.
Yeah.
Give my boy Fandango a shout-out here on the podcast.
Yeah, Fandango, soon to be on TNA Wrestling. I don't know.
Yeah, apparently.
I don't know that. I just made that up.
He's disappeared. That's a pretty good sign that he's going to be in TNA soon. Join his boy, Drew McIntyre, right? He's there.
Well, we do have a tradition that once WrestleMania rolls around and once they get everything kind of going in the next year, generally speaking, a lot of people are future endeavored at that point.
You know who else needs to be future endeavored right now? Duke the Dumpster Drosy, because there is a dumpster fight outside of my house right now with two trucks on a standoff outside of my place. I don't know if you can hear it through the phone, but that's what's going on right now.
I was like, where is Walter going with this?
This is the loudest, we're recording the podcast right now, this is the loudest sound I've ever heard in my life. I cannot believe it's not transferring through the phone. Bless your hearts, because you don't have to hear this.
All right, then. Well, Walter, stay safe as we are relatively at the halfway point of the podcast. We hope Walter makes it to the end. If he doesn't, we'll know why. But anyway, I tell you, it's just, it's interesting because, yeah, that bus flip is coming. And, where people get fired. And there's a lot of people who should be worried, quite frankly, I would think. Because this thing with NXT, it's those guys are just clamoring to get up to the next level.
Would they want to, though, at this point? It seems like they have a pretty good thing going on in NXT.
That's the thing. It's going to be a tough balancing act, because if they're legitimately going to make this another brand, okay, that's great, but the guys who've come there legitimately still want to be on the main roster. Like, Sami Zayn doesn't want to be the star of NXT. He came to be on the WWE. Kevin Steen isn't here to be NXT champion. He's here to be WWE champion at some point. Like, that's their goals. It's not to build this new brand that they've kind of stumbled upon.
No, I mean, but NXT is kind of growing into something really special, so maybe they kind of get a kick out of being a part of this really unique endeavor that WWE is going through. And, you know, more and more of their comrades from the independent circuit are going to be joining them, besides a couple of guys who you are obviously infatuated with. But right now in NXT and the state of the WWE roster, I mean, I wouldn't be in a rush to get up to that mess.
Who am I infatuated with, Walter? Are you referring to Adam Cole and the Young Bucks, I assume?
The Young Bucks specifically, yes.
Well, thank
you. You heard these stories, right? These latest stories about WWE clamoring for those two?
Yeah, but they're not coming.
Yeah, but they've been kind of making some subtle hints on WWE.com, and apparently they made a... When Mark Henry was on SmackDown, he mentioned something about Young Bucks, and that was a shot at Nick and Matt, so...
No, there was a sign. There was a sign at one of the shows. I saw it. About the Young Bucks.
No, the story was about when Mark Henry was cutting his promo on Roman Reigns, and he said something about Young Bucks that was written in because of Nick and Matt. And also they had on WWE.com a video called Super Kick Party, which was just a bunch of super kicks, and that was about the Young Bucks, too.
Well, wait, is WWE trying to piss them off or get them to come?
They're upset.
Yeah, I think they're trying to piss them off.
I don't know what they're trying to do, but they're upset that Nick and Matt won't accept an offer from them. They really want the Young Bucks.
I don't know if that's the way to get them. I think they're actually doing the wrong thing.
Right.
Which, I mean, the WWE, God knows they would never know how to do the wrong thing or the right thing. But I thought you were referencing, like, about 3 or 4 months ago, the Young Bucks were the ones teasing they were going to WWE on their Twitter.
Yeah.
That never materialized, but I don't know. I mean, when you look at the state of the tag team division, and now one of the Usos is hurt,
God.
The Young Bucks could walk in there tomorrow and be the tag team champions. No one's going to question that, but would they want to be? That would be the other question.
So they can embark on a feud with El Torito and the Los Matadores?
Exactly. Sure. That's what I mean. Like Nick and Mac Jackson, obviously, they'll do whatever is best money-wise for them, because at the end of the day, these guys, the characters they play are over the top and arrogant and all that, but in talking with them, these are guys that they're just out for the best for their families. Whoever wants to give them the biggest paycheck, that's who they'll work for. Mm-hmm. They're not in particular about it. But I just wonder, you know, where's the longevity in a WWE run for the Young Bucks? Like, can they be there and thrive with the way it is right now? I don't think they can. I don't think any tag team can.
Well, they would have to transcend to being more than just a tag team. Like, they would have to become something more than that, because right now, you mentioned the injury to, what was it? It was Jey Uso, right?
I thought it was Jimmy.
It's one of the Usos. They're
I think
out,
it's
so.
Jimmy, actually.
Like, if you're the Young Bucks right now, and you look at the money you can make working elsewhere, you look at the quality of competition, and then you look at, like, WrestleMania, where it looks like we're getting Cesaro and Kid versus the New Day versus Los Matadores. Like, that's the tag team division. That's, like, the complete antithesis of what the Hardys and Edge and Christian and the Dudley Boys were. So, sure, they might become bigger stars on WWE's spotlight, but at the same time, they're in such a good place right now that they can kind of hold all the cards.
Like, if I'm WWE, here's what I'm doing. There's the talks about the Briscoes. We talked about the Young Bucks. Red Dragon's under contract to ROH. But I want all three. There's my new tag team division, and I want them all at once. You talked about, you just mentioned there, Edge and Christian, the Hardys, and the Dudleys. These three teams, they can be that in the WWE.
We can only wish, anyways.
No, but they can, right? Like, I mean, I'm not talking if they'll be. I'm saying talent-wise, it's there. You've got three teams that could tear it up for 2-3 years just going against each other.
Mm-hmm. It's a pipe dream, but it's a really good dream.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Walter, you're not getting into the spirit of this. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm just saying, in theory, it's there.
Yeah,
you have
of
it. Like, but WWE individually bringing in these tag teams isn't going to do anything.
No, absolutely not.
By the way, I want to mention this. This has nothing to do with anything, but I love mascots. I just saw highlights, and I got to see Sparty and the Georgia Bulldog mascot, two of the greatest of all time.
Sure, James, big mascot fan over here.
Well, we should have, like, a mascot battle royal. It might be better than the Andre the Giant battle royal.
Well, anything.
Mascots from all pro sports everywhere, all in the ring, to battle it out for the Andre the Giant Memorial battle royal.
And who would you take?
I would take our guy, the Raptor.
Yes,
he would get it done. Either him or the Charlotte Hornet. He could. Hugo. Hugo's very resourceful.
Hugo?
Yeah, that's his name. Hugo the Hornet.
Okay, sure, I guess.
See, you don't know anything
on Charlotte now.
You don't know anything about your mascots, Walter. Like, pick up your game. Like, you couldn't have expected mascot talk here on a wrestling podcast.
I worked as the mascot's assistant for a year, okay? So I've gotten my fix of mascots.
So you're, like, tight with the Raptor.
I was, yes. I did everything for him.
Wow. So you were like his slave.
I was, yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
I was
cool.
The backup Raptor, if need be.
You were the backup Raptor? So you've been the Raptor?
No, I've worn the costume once.
Wow, that's just exciting.
I give him all the credit in the world, because that guy sweats buckets after 5 minutes in that thing.
I tell you, I'm excited. I think we got a new gimmick for Walter to get in
wrestling. No mascot stuff, no.
Yes, maybe. Maybe we could make this work. I'll think about it. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, though, this sucks.
Newsflash.
And the more and more I read, the more and more I hear Sheamus is coming back to win this.
Yeah, it looks like
worst thing in the world. The only thing people have hope for this WrestleMania is The Miz winning that stupid Battle Royal. And you're going to take that away. Or Mizdow, sorry.
Yeah, it scared me there for a second.
Well, no, Miz would work too, though. Because you could on the Monday, you could pay it off. But if they don't have either of those two winning, and it's actually Sheamus, I mean, what's the point?
Well, I mean, you could do a lot with Sheamus because he's going to be obviously a main event guy when he comes back, and it has a little more credibility. No, I mean, they need somebody else to come in right now, and he's going to have a different look when he returns. He's not going to have the goofy hair because he shaved his head for the whole Star Wars thing. So, and if he becomes like that badass that these video packages are portraying him to be, I'm cool with him kind of getting back into that top tier level where he used to be.
Okay, I am not with you at all on this.
Why? Agree with me, James.
Because Sheamus is terrible. You can shave off his red hair. You can shave off... I don't care what you shave off. He's still terrible. I guess him being part of the Authority would work. Because I think eventually Big Show and Kane... I mean, maybe this is just wishful thinking. But they are getting so beaten up by even their own team now, with people calling them just stupid idiots, that they can't be long for the Authority. So maybe there's a spot for Sheamus there.
Yeah, it seems like that group's eventually kind of going to disintegrate, and then if you want someone to kind of go right in and then be Triple H's go-to guy, or next to Seth Rollins, of course, then that could be Sheamus. And, you know, if you have Sheamus win the Battle Royal, and then Roman Reigns is going to need a challenger if he becomes world champion at WrestleMania. It's not going to be Lesnar, obviously. So why not have Reigns and Sheamus?
Why not?
Why not?
That seems to be the whole WWE thing right now. Why not? What the hell? Anyway, you know what else happened on Raw? It's all coming back to me now. Sting showed up. The lights went out and Sting showed up to help his good friend Randy Orton, who he's never met.
Yeah, apparently they must go way back for Sting to be so insistent on defending the Viper. It was still a cool moment, though. It's always fun to see Sting. I'm not as down on seeing him on television as everyone else. I know a lot of people these days are like, it's Sting, he's old, who cares? But and then they even entice people to go check out the WWE Network afterwards, where he talked for the first time and actually said something without the damn voice recorder or the Black Scorpion stupid thing. So... yeah, Sting, 2 thumbs up for me.
Yeah, just confuse the little kids. Wait, that's not how he sounded last week.
He has a deeper James Earl Jones voice. What the hell is this?
This is CNN. And Sting.
And this was the day, as we, I don't know how it goes.
I don't know. This is a day that will live in infamy. WrestleMania 31, where the dream died.
If only Jim Ross called that moment, though, that would have been way cooler.
Oh,
that's the case for anything.
Jim Ross calling anything is way cooler than Michael Cole. I mean, hands down.
But this is Sting, though. This is a huge moment in wrestling.
Is it?
It is. Well, stop. Why is everyone so, like, anti-Sting these days? It's his birthday today, by the way.
Well, happy friggin' birthday.
56.
Congratulations for showing up and earning a paycheck last week on Monday.
Hey, he actually did something. I'm like,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Hey, he does more than Brock Lesnar, I will say that. Brock shows up, holds a belt, occasionally he'll talk for 5 minutes and that's it. And people want to keep this, though. That's the thing, Walter. Wrestling fans have been so beaten down that they actually want Brock Lesnar to stay with the company for the WWE to pay him way more money than he's worth to them with their current economic model and remain the champion and not be on television. This is what wrestling fans want. A, does this speak to how badly they hate Roman Reigns? Or B, does it speak to how they just don't think at all?
Brock Lesnar is the most real thing in a fake sport, and he brings legitimacy to WWE, and I've had a problem with
when he's there.
Yeah, but even if he does, you know, the whole reason why he only worked at so many dates was because it made him more of a special attraction. And it added more value to a championship because you weren't seeing it defended all the time. It was only on, you know, the big stage, and it made every match he competed in feel all the more important. So if WWE said, hey, we want to keep that, it made us money, we want to do that for another year, then And if he wants to drop it at WrestleMania 32, he could win at WrestleMania and hold it until WrestleMania 32, and you wouldn't hear a peep out of me.
That's the thing, though. It didn't make the money. Where did it make the money? They didn't have, like, this big upflux of network subscribers after SummerSlam when he fought John Cena. There wasn't this big uptick at the Royal Rumble when he showed up there.
Right.
Like, the money that he supposedly is making them, where is it? Because I don't see it. He's not on house shows, so he's not making it there. Where is this supposed money that Brock Lesnar is bringing to this company? And where, more importantly, is the money to pay him?
That's why I'm not their accountant.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, this whole idea of Brock staying makes so little sense. Like, if I'm the WWE, I'm kind of, hey, you know, Brock, you know, we'd like to have you come back, but hey, if you have something to finish at the UFC and you feel you have unfinished business, we don't want to stand in your way. And 2 years later, when you're done with that, or 3 years later, we'll welcome you back with open arms. Mm-hmm. That would be my approach if I'm the WWE.
This whole situation is just bleh. I don't know what to think anymore, but they've kind of left us in a state of despair and bewilderment, because we honestly do not know if he's going to be staying with the company, and that makes whatever you want to think about WrestleMania, you're going to watch because you want to see what happens with Brock Lesnar.
But are you? Because you can just find out on Monday.
Yeah, but again, the big moment will happen at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that remains to be seen, I think. A lot remains to be seen with Brock Lesnar and all this. But what the clear thing is Roman Reigns has just been totally wiped out by all of this.
Mm-hmm. He was coming from behind from the very beginning. Like, he had a lot to prove, and people were putting him under the microscope and analyzing every promo he cut or every match that he had, and to be honest, he hasn't really delivered the goods, and that's why a lot of people right now aren't excited with the main event of a WrestleMania, because Roman Reigns hasn't lived up to the expectations that have been thrust upon him.
I don't know. I don't think he's done as bad a job as people have been saying.
WrestleMania main event worthy, though. He hasn't screwed the pooch, but...
Well, he hasn't had anything to work with. I mean, he's working with Brock Lesnar's advocate, Paul Heyman. Like, that's great and all, but if he beats up Paul, what does that do? Nothing. He looks like a mean bully. Like, there's no... He needs... What's going to happen, obviously, on Raw. That's what he's needed for a long time, to be in the ring face-to-face with this guy. And, to me, doing it on the last show before you go to WrestleMania is too late. These two should have had some interactions along the way, and we haven't seen that.
Well, we saw it once during the whole snowstorm Raw, right?
Yeah, but not in a ring. We saw it in that enclosed environment in Stamford, like, you know. And I thought that, in the whole build to this, I thought that was the most compelling thing they've done.
Well, that might be surpassed this Monday night on Raw, obviously.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know. The main event, in and of itself, is strange. The undercards are also strange for their own variety. The word on the street is this whole idea is the WWE's plan now is to get Brock Lesnar back, put the U.S. title on John Cena, and put the Intercontinental title on Daniel Bryan. So when Brock's away, Cena and Daniel Bryan will carry the company. That's the rumor that was out there this week. Does that plan work? Like are we dumb enough to say, oh, look, John Cena's the U.S. champion. You know that U.S. title that used to be Dean Ambrose's belt buckle? Oh, now it's important. And the Intercontinental title, well, Daniel Bryan hasn't been devalued by having that.
But, people always complain that the mid-card titles aren't important anymore. So why is it that having the two biggest faces in the company hold the belts, that's not a good thing? Because if Lesnar's still the champion and he's not going to be working every pay-per-view, you can have an Extreme Rules or, what are some of the other ones, like Over the Limit or some of these crappy pay-per-views. You can have them headlined by Intercontinental or United States Championship matches, and people will buy into it because it's John Cena and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, but it's the way it's perceived. The WWE wants to say, well, because John Cena has it, now it has more value. No, people see it as a downstep for John Cena and not an upstep for the belt. That's the way I look at it. And the same thing for Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan last year at the end of WrestleMania was holding the old world title belt and the WWE title going, yes, yes, yes. He's going to go in a ladder match that, oh, by the way, might kill him. But hey, it's only Daniel Bryan, so who cares? Anyway, assuming he survives and gets to win the belt, he's got the Intercontinental title, gets to go, yes, yes, yes. It's different. Like, it's obviously different. And how can you not look at that as a downgrade?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that it's not where they should be. I mean, there's only so many guys you can put into the world championship picture anyways. And now that, you know, again, it's all hypothetical if Lesnar's going to go or stay, but you can't have, like, seven or eight guys saying they're the number one contender. Sometimes you have to kind of move them down the card and elevate some of the other guys. Like, having John Cena face Rusev is going to do wonders for Rusev, win or lose. It's just, you know, the rub that he's getting from the greatest WWE superstar, arguably, of the last decade. And then Daniel Bryan, yeah, he won the main event of WrestleMania 30, and now he's competing with the Dean Ambroses and the Dolph Ziggler's and the Stardust. That's a rub for them, too. So I'm not, you know, it seems bad when you look at it like that, but I think you have to kind of let it play out, see if these belts can get some sort of credibility back, because, again, Bryan and Cena are number one and two, respectively, in the company.
I think how you build credibility in those belts is you put them on guys that haven't had them that are on the rise looking to get to that main event spot. A Dean Ambrose, a Seth Rollins with those belts, and not just have them, like Dean had the U.S. title for over a year, I realize that, but he never defended it. Have him defending that belt, have him like being in prominent matches on pay-per-view. It works, then it works, because it's like, this is a step to getting somewhere else. But when it's guys who've already been the world champion, it's looked at as a step backwards and no one takes it seriously.
No, well, I'm taking it seriously. There's at least one guy out there.
Well, okay, Walter, but you take a lot of things seriously that are weird.
Like what? Mascots?
Well, mascots are not weird. They're delightful creatures that entertain children. How dare
you?
Yeah,
huh? Mm-hmm. Let's go that again. No, I take a lot of things seriously. Yes, I do, and I'm hoping that, you know, if Bryan wins and Cena wins, then hopefully something becomes of it. I would love to see a pay-per-view main evented with a mid-card title. That would be great. That used to be the case back in the day.
Very rarely. I mean, we saw SummerSlam with Brett and Bulldog, but I can't think of any other.
Didn't opportunities. No, Warrior and Rude was for the WWF title.
It was. That was a SummerSlam.
An Intercontinental title match that main evented a pay-per-view.
Hmm. SummerSlam's the only one in England, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right, well.
I mean, B-level pay-per-view, don't quote me, but like Major 4, I'm almost certain that the Intercontinental title's only ever main evented once, and it was at Wembley Stadium, British Bulldog versus Bret the Hitman Hart. You can look it up on the WWE Network for $11.99 here in Canada, $9.99 everywhere else in the world. Why? Because we in Canada get treated badly.
We get screwed north of the border.
That's right, and our dollar keeps dipping. It's not good.
Hey, unless you're getting paid from an American company like me.
I know, I used to be that guy too. Yeah. Walter, you may like live like a king up here if things keep going this way.
Getting more beer money because the loony doesn't match up anymore. I love it.
Beer money. This is beer money. You're getting richer and you're going to waste it on beer.
St. Patrick's Day was a good day, my friend.
How typical Canadian are you?
I am very Canadian, but I'm also Swiss too. So I got to keep it neutral once in a while.
So what? You take some of your beer and you put it in like a bank account that no one is allowed in?
Oh God. Yeah, I also have my watch. I chew on Ricola instead of Halls. I got a mountain of chocolate in my bedroom. I'm Swiss to the T, baby.
Nah, you don't have the acne for someone who eats a lot of chocolate.
Yeah, that's true.
So there you go.
I keep it nice and clean.
We delve into Walder's world there.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Walder's world.
Yeah, well, we did Where's Walder when you were gone.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a segment?
No, not really. But we did mention Where's Walder.
By the way, our boy Josh Lopez, there's a show out there online called The Nick and Bryan Show, a show that I've been associated with. a couple of times, and it sounds like he's going to be taking over them for the foreseeable future. So quick shout out to you, Mr. Lopez. All the best in your future endeavors, although you're still going to be a part of this show on occasion and obviously writing for the site. So.
And he's going to WrestleMania. Did you know that?
Is he now?
He is.
Where's he from? Is he from Chicago?
He is from Chicago.
And he's making the trip up there?
He is.
Santa Clara?
He is. He's going down to WrestleMania. He has press credentials.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, how did he land that?
He knows people.
Damn.
Mafia connections in Chicago, maybe.
Mafia connections?
He's
going to be having the pretend, what was it, the Tommy gun that CM Punk used to have?
No. Haven't you heard that one? Walter, we mentioned this on the show last week, didn't we?
What?
Russian soldiers are the thing this year.
Oh yeah, this year, yeah. Maybe Lopez is going to be involved with that.
No, I don't think so. I think he's just accredited media. We're happy for Josh, though. I'm glad he's getting the chance to go, because he is a guy who, unlike us, Walter, much more positive about things. Will enjoy himself. Will
bless his heart.
Yeah, he will have a good time at WrestleMania, regardless of if it delivers as a show. Josh will have a great time.
He'll enjoy it for what it is while we're all sitting at home overanalyzing.
Cynically just saying, you did what?
What?
WWE. Cynically saying, you did what, WWE?
Yeah, we're all going to be on the Twitter machine while he's sitting there having the time of his life with a beer in hand watching, I don't know, Curtis Axel win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Who knows? But anyway, yeah, Josh is going to be in town. God, everyone's in town. Well, I feel bad when WrestleMania comes up. I can't lie. Like, all the people that we know, they end up going to WrestleMania. We do not. I get depressed. Like, they're having that big kickoff party, Court Bauer throwing it with MLW. That thing seems to be, like, the booze up of the year if you're a wrestling fan. It just seems like it's going to be crazy.
We need to make a priority to go up to one of these WrestleManias, man. Maybe next year. There's going to be a lot of seats.
I'm poor. That's basically my argument.
Get the lottery win.
Yeah, if I hit the lottery, Walter, we're going to Texas Stadium. Because I'm a Cowboys fan. So just going to Texas Stadium is enough to sell me on it.
You're a Cowboys fan?
I am. I know, you're a Giants fan. It's terrible.
I was on the bandwagon of the Giants when they were kicking Tom Brady's rear end.
Yeah, we mentioned. Yeah, you ticked off Michael Bennett and Matt Taven. We did this a few weeks ago. We were aware.
Yes. But if they ever want to beat Tom Brady once again, they'll have my support.
Well, all right then. That's good to know.
This is what's become of wrestling, people. It's become so nonchalant. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys now.
Hey, they are. The whole stadium.
And dumpsters and George.
Well, you brought up dumpsters.
Well, George Costanza, we've been talking about.
Yeah, we've been talking about George Costanza. Yeah.
And mascots.
All this is true. Well, here is my thinking, Walter. Next week, we are going to attempt to have some kind of preview show for this WrestleMania. And I felt the more we dove into matches this week, the harder it would be to do a preview show next week.
That
so I kept it very general and blasé this week. Are you saying I made a mistake in this?
Absolutely not. That's a smart move. Next week we'll obviously do our match-by-match preview for the most predictable card in the history of cards, because that's what we do here on the show.
By the way, did you see that new girl that is coming to NXT?
The bodybuilder one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo.
She could... If they're looking for a Ronda Rousey, wow, that could be her.
Yeah, she's a looker too. So nice. It's kind of like a Beth Phoenix thing going on.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, like, that could be your ass kicker girl, because I mean that's what everyone's been clamoring for, this ass kicker girl that, you know, saves the Divas division, gives Divas a chance. Saves them all.
If you're going to have a 20-second Divas match, have it because one of the Divas is just so overpowering that she just...
Well, no, but that would be the gimmick I would use, too.
Yeah.
Like, in building this, I would have the women getting, like, longer and longer matches, but I would have this girl come in and destroy people.
Like, have a t-shirt with Give Divas a Chance on it, but no one could beat her. That would be the irony of that would be amazing.
Oh, no, but you get what I mean. Like, have a 10, like, say, you know, say you got Paige and AJ on the show. Yeah. Neither of them is fighting this girl. They go like 10, 15 minutes, have a great match. This girl comes out, and she squashes redheaded stepchild in like 16 seconds. That's what I would do with her.
And that would
like
be fun.
Build her up like this kick-ass machine, and she would keep going up levels until she actually got to the good girls, and she'd still kill them.
I like it.
I know.
Let's work with that.
We gotta fix this Divas division. More importantly,
she hasn't debuted yet.
More importantly, we have to get rid of the Bellas, because I think no good can come for the Divas division until the Bellas are gone.
Hey, she needs to go do Fast and Furious 9 or whatever. She wants to be the next Rock.
Hey, that if she could pull off the fight scene that I just saw with Ronda Rousey in Fast and Furious 7, good luck, Nikki Bella. You could not do that.
You know when you know the movie is fake when Ronda Rousey's fight scene goes over 14 seconds.
Oh, it's great, though. She's, like, in a dress and high heels. I don't know. Maybe it would take her longer than 14 seconds in a dress and high heels. But, I mean, Ronda Rousey's kicking some serious ass in that movie.
Some crazy fan in the theater saying, "This isn't believable. She would kill her in 2 seconds. Turn it off."
I'm just waiting for Entourage, because I know what she does in Entourage. She gets in the ring with Turtle in the octagon. Yeah. I want to see that.
You're going to see it just for that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? That's money.
You an Entourage fan?
Oh, yeah. I love Entourage.
Oh, I've never seen an episode.
So Ronda being part of Entourage is like, you know, cake with whipped cream.
It's the money crossover for you.
Yeah, it's great. And Jerry Ferrara being the guy who has to, like, interact with her and fight, I think even the better.
Sick.
Yeah, it'll be good. Ronda, you know, making movies, kicking ass. Is she going to be at WrestleMania? We don't know, do we?
I hope so.
I mean, that's the other thing. We've been talking about all these things about it hasn't felt like WrestleMania. I did a whole big article on the site about it this week about why it hasn't felt like WrestleMania season and all that. That's another thing. No announcement of celebrities. I don't know who's going to be there. I assume some people will be there because there always are people there. But no announcements, nothing. Like, nothing feels special about this WrestleMania.
It feels like a Sunday Night Raw.
Sunday Night Raw. Sunday Night Heat, the extended edition.
Yeah, well, I would have liked to see them save the Jon Stewart stuff for WrestleMania. I thought he was going to be in, like, Orton's corner or whatever. I mean, not the coolest celebrity cameo you ever seen, but I think his stuff on Raw was hilarious, and maybe he does show up at WrestleMania in some capacity.
His kids like are legit fans, so
yeah, he loves it. Why not get these celebrities who are still, you know, haven't been tarnished, their love for wrestling hasn't been skewered because of the crap that they see on TV every week, and bring them in and do something creative.
So in other words, we don't want to see Florida anymore. We don't want to see Wiz Khalifa. Like, who are a list of celebrities that we are sick of seeing around WWE? Those are two for me.
That are regulars?
Yeah, the Maria Menounos girl, get rid of her.
Yeah, she's
I never want to see her again.
Yeah.
Who else are just known WWE marks that we always see?
I'm not big on pop culture. I don't remember half.
Yeah, it's because you're a Swiss millennial.
Yeah, do you want to go there again? That's going to be, whatever. Swiss millennial, sorry I was born at a certain time.
You know what, we need like a bumper like just that comes on Swiss millennial, that's what we need.
With like some epic music in the
something
background.
Something to work on.
Oh,
like with a Ricolo thing in the back and everything, it'll be
you
great.
You wouldn't have a co-host if I wasn't a Swiss millennial.
That's true.
How about that?
No, I blame Vince McMahon, he's the one who brought it to my attention.
Yeah, well you don't have to listen to everything Vince McMahon says.
I do, he's God.
That's why I'm an atheist.
All right, then. Anyway, so are there any other celebrities that we're just sick of seeing on WWE?
Flo Rida was one of the big ones.
Will Flo Rida make the WWE Hall of Fame someday?
Oh, God. Don't even joke about that.
He will, won't he, though?
Why? Because he sang a song at one of them?
More than one. He's been there more than anybody.
Performing?
Oh, yeah. He's been there, like, in the back. He's been performing. He's always there.
Well, he did a Raw, and then he played out The Rock at WrestleMania 28. I can't think of anything else he's done.
He's been there a few times.
Well, they need they need more celebrities, so maybe he will get in.
One day, Florida. Hall of Fame. And the greatest Hall of Fame class of all time. Larry Zbyszko, actually a legitimate, worthy Hall of Famer, I think. And then we'll be capped off with Kevin Nash, and what a Hall of Fame it will be.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest jokes of a Hall of Fame in years. Randy Savage, obviously he can't be there, but the people that are going to be there in person, like Rikishi, I mean, we've talked about this. Why the hell is he in there? The Bushwhackers.
Say the Bushwhackers are likely going to lick Johnny, though. And that, for just the laugh of Johnny Laurinaitis getting licked by the Bushwhackers, that's turned me around a little bit on the
Bushwhackers. Yeah, let's give them a Hall of Fame ring because Laurinaitis is inducting them and we can see him lick his face.
I'm not saying that, but for them being on the show, I'm not as upset now. They have a purpose.
Do you remember the name of the Japanese star who was announced on SmackDown?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. Court Bauer and John Pollock were talking about that.
I have no idea what he's done.
I don't watch SmackDown anymore. I tried for a while, and I gave up.
It was confirmed on the internet, too. You don't have to watch SmackDown to see these things.
Well, hey, the Hall of Fame has been so depressing, I just haven't been keeping up on it. What can I say?
We're inducting hit-and-run guys who are taking out major WWE stars with their cars and rubbing their asses in people's faces.
I don't know.
And dressing up as sultans
and
whatnot.
Hey, come to think of it, based on the criteria for the celebrity wing of the WWE Hall of Fame, can Ronda Rousey be in?
Yeah, Maria Menounos is getting in before her.
Oh, come on now. That can't happen.
She's won a match.
That's true, she has.
Two of them.
And she had that lovely induction speech for Bob Backlund.
Oh, yeah.
That went on and on to the point that fans were forced to boo her.
And she's won both of her matches with the same damn spot where the diva would try and spear her in the corner and she would do a monkey flip into a pin. And
hey.
That's basically the only move she knows how to do.
Well, you know, if she
more than I can do.
That's true, probably.
I'd screw up a clothesline somehow.
But anyway, I don't know. I just, what are you looking forward to in all of this? Because I'm being totally honest.
WrestleMania?
Like, out of all of this, like once we have, we'll take it through Monday. We're sitting Tuesday, and maybe we're doing a special edition of the show because so much has happened. Yeah, right. But let's say we are. What is it that you hope you're talking about?
Look, at WrestleMania, the only two things that I really, I'm invested in are the ladder match, because I think that's going to just steal the show, and that's going to be match of the night, hands down. And then, the build has been good enough to buy me in. I think Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker is going to be amazing. Again, we don't know what the Undertaker, he hasn't showed up yet. So it's going to be cool to just see him back in the ring. And
I follow Michelle McCool's Instagram. I don't need to see Undertaker.
And there's still the possibility, the slight possibility, if they do it at WrestleMania or the following night on Raw, that we get a Sting Undertaker stare down. So I think that would be cool, too, just for the nostalgic fan in me. Everything else, I'm kind of like, I've seen too much of Orton and Rollins over the past couple of weeks that I really care about their match. I think Sting and Triple H might exceed my expectations, but I'm not counting on it. Reigns and Lesnar, obviously, we don't need to go into that again. And, John Cena, Rusev, I mean, their match at Fastlane was okay, but it's looking more and more like Cena's going to win anyway, so whoop-de-doo there. But, yeah, everything else.
Wait, you were the one earlier that said it was a good thing Cena was winning.
I'm going to go back and forth on my pick for that match, and then next week I'll give you my official prediction for Cena, Rusev. But, yeah, it doesn't really feel like a WrestleMania. I said this last week on the podcast. It just feels kind of like a SummerSlam, where it has great matches on paper, but it's like, okay, does it feel like WrestleMania? There's no celebrities at this thing. There's not really a lot of hype. There's no one showed up on the Raws. You know, the three main events, half of the matches haven't been there. So, yeah, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to have a good time with it. But am I, like, dying to see it? Absolutely not.
Maybe Bill Simmons and Snoop Dogg combined will get you hyped for WrestleMania.
Yeah, Bill friggin' Simmons, who I love, by the way. I read a lot.
I hate him.
You hate Bill Simmons?
I do. Can't stand him. He's a jerk.
Why? Why is he a jerk?
Because he's a pompous jerk that thinks he knows it all and he knows nothing.
All right, well.
Which some people might say about me, by the way.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. There's a lot of people out there who think we're full of ourselves, you know.
Well, I don't think anyone thinks you're full of yourself.
I'm a Swiss millennial. I think I'm God, right?
I don't think so. I think you're overly humble, Chris Walder. You need some of what I have.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that. I'm never one to bask in anything that good that happens.
It's true.
To me.
Like Chris Walder, in his other life, covering the Toronto Raptors, he's on a major radio station on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And we rarely hear about this, although you did mention it last week, which shocked me. So, you know.
What, promoting my appearance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rarely do you promote things, Chris Walder.
I got to get a couple of people to listen to these things. A
couple people show up. You know, that's all we're asking.
Well, I'm not on the Facebook sphere anymore, so I got to get it out there. Of course, on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, at Walder Sports.
No, you know what you got to do? You got to go old school, Walder. You get the sandwich board. You walk the streets with your Twitter handle and you know, when you'll be appearing on where.
Handing out cards to everyone.
Right. That would be great.
With my ugly mug on them.
Yeah, that's what you do. You come to the... You said you can't get tickets to the ROH show. Walder has flaked out on the ROH show in May. But what you can do, you can go out front, Walder, and you can promote our podcast.
Yeah,
we'll get you banners and a sandwich board and all of that. It'll be great.
In a moon suit?
Yes, why not? Why not? A moon suit. Whatever we need. You know, maybe Matt Taven can help you out. Maybe we'll work it out. I don't know. We'll get something going. If you're not going to the show, we might as well make use of you somehow.
Oh, I would love to dress up as Max Moon. Is that a possibility? See how many people get that reference.
That's a very easy reference. You just show up to the landing party for MLW called Wally Mania, and Max Moon himself will be on hand.
That is true. Yeah, I'm sure you get a kick out of that.
Oh, yeah, they still reference the Max Moon. In fact, I mean, I'll help these guys out if you want. I don't know if you're interested, Walder, but they do have on MLW.com Max Moon t-shirts. I do know that.
Oh, wow.
So maybe you should, after the show, go check it out. And, you know, if you want to support Court Bauer and the guys over at MLW and get a Max Moon t-shirt, hey, by all means.
Support us first, though.
Well, we don't have t-shirts, Walder. If we did, I wouldn't be giving them a free plug.
Just send us your money.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? That's the one thing, though. I guess we'll end on this. That's the one thing. Like, well, you talk about you being humble and stuff like that, and I get into this thing. I listen to all these wrestling podcasts, and it seems like everybody and their brother's out for money lately. Like, oh, it's hard times, and, you know, we got to pay for this and that and the other thing. And I've always been leery of doing that with this podcast or with anything I'm doing, even if it does reach a certain level, because it's like, you know, I feel bad, like, trying to hit up people for money. Like, it just seems like that's what everyone's doing these days. And I'm not singling anybody out. I'm just saying, it's like, jeez.
Well, then you sit in the background, and I'll be the cheap bastard who asks everybody for their money.
Really?
Send us your loonies and toonies.
That's what we'll do. Walder will have, like, a speech at the end of the show, and he'll hawk our wares. Is that what will happen?
The beer doesn't buy itself, guys. Waitresses need tips.
Do you remember the old TNA shows with Don West?
With what? What did he do?
Don West? Do you remember his background at all, or no?
He was selling out the TNA store stuff, right?
Yeah. But he used to work on the Home Shopping Network, so that could be you on this podcast. That's what you're saying.
I just got like this Don West flashback of all the over. Man, that guy was just way over the top.
That's what I'm saying. That's what you could do at the end of the podcast. That might be. I'm not saying this would suck.
Scott Steiner versus Samoa Joe. Scott Steiner versus Samoa Joe. This is going to be incredible.
Oh, no, he's just awesome. The violence! The brutality of it all! Oh, no!
And that's why TNA is where it's at. Josh Matthews and Taz didn't have a lot to follow with him as commentator.
So. Hey, they fired Don West. They got rid of him.
Didn't they demote him to just do like the merchandise now? Or is he completely gone?
I think he's completely gone now.
Oh, okay. Well, he got out while the going was good, I guess.
Yeah, he got out while it was still somewhat on top.
Yeah.
He was smart. Anyway, as always, as tradition, really no TNA talk on the show this week. Apparently the show is better, but no one watches it.
Yeah.
That's,
no one's around to see it.
That's really the that new good. TNA gimmick. We're better, but no one watches us.
We're all right TNA. If you give us a chance.
Actually, one last thing. I don't think we've touched on this yet, but Spike TV talking about wrestling again and admitting to the fact that they've had some conversations with ROH and, you know, nothing's set up or anything is finalized or anything, but interesting stuff. And it's an interesting kind of format, too, because this wouldn't be for, like, a weekly show. It sounds like it would be for, like, a monthly spot. Or like a bi-monthly spot. Does that work for an ROH to get on Spike TV and have like their own kind of Saturday Night's Main Event? I think it does. I think it's a good idea for them.
I don't know why it would be a bad thing, per se.
Yeah, I think it's great exposure, and I think, you know, it's interesting. And it seems like a lot of people are kind of sniffing around for this. I know one independent promotion, the NWA, is another one that's heavily trying to pursue Spike to do something. But I think ROH is the most ready for it, and I think, you know, draws the most bang for the buck for Spike. So it would be interesting to see if ROH actually ended up on the old home of TNA. That would be quite the in-your-face, I guess.
Yeah, I'd love to see them snag that deal and see what comes of it.
Who knows, but I know we hadn't brought it up on the show in the last couple weeks because I wasn't sure if we should bring it up because it was kind of preliminary stuff, but now Spike's the one that's talking about it. It was a guy from Spike that talked about this and made it open to the public consumption that, we've talked with ROH. You know, they don't want them on their Friday night lineup with Bellator and all that, and I see that, why they'd want to keep it away from what they consider legitimate sport. As opposed to wrestling, which, you know, whatever wrestling is, I get it. I don't think you can have MMA and wrestling back-to-back. I think that's too weird.
Yeah, it's not it's a bad combination. You get the real sport and then the fake sport. It's just icky.
Yeah, it's just
keep them away.
It's kind of odd. I mean, they did that for years at Spike, and I never quite thought, like, I got it. They were using TNA as the lead-in for Bellator,
right,
which was smart, but I don't know if it is a lot of the same fans, so maybe it does work, but at the same time, I would totally understand a company not wanting to cross-pollinate as closely as that. So, but anyway, we'll see. Like, it's a strange time for ROH, because they have a number of things that are looking very positive for the company, and with all the stuff that NXT is doing, it's scary for them on the other side of it, because their talent pool could be, like, what's ROH's talent pool going to be in a month from, like a year from now?
Yeah, Jay Briscoe's probably going to be gone, Samoa Joe's definitely going to be gone, Adam Cole could be gone.
Michael Bennett could be gone.
Yeah, I mean,
Maria's back with the WWE, and they love using Maria to promote ROH.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, she's always front and center. I mean, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times for ROH in some ways, because I think, you know, if NXT really steps it up and does what it looks like they're planning to do, not just for ROH, but the little independents could be really hurt by this, like, in major ways.
Well, that's why ROH needs to keep bringing in talent, establishing talent, because, you know, their reputation of being merely a feeder system for WWE is becoming truer and truer by the day.
Yes, it is, and we wish them luck and all the best with their show on Friday in Redwood, California. As I said, headlining that show, it's Samoa Joe, versus Jay Briscoe, the champion. And great card there to go check out. And it's all sold out, so you can't get tickets anyway. But the NXT show, apparently, that's the big buzz and big talk. That's going to go down 10 p.m. in San Jose State Sports Arena. And the funny thing is, they were going to limit tickets for that, and it seems like they've expanded the tickets for that now.
NXT. I want NXT WrestleMania. How about that? Let's do an entire WrestleMania of NXT, guys.
Maybe that's how they sell the 100,000 seats next year. Kevin Steen headlines the show after his year-long reign as champion of NXT.
Oh, he'd lose it.
I don't know. Anyway, but in all seriousness, that looks to be quite the show. And if they get to maximum capacity, that's like 6,000 people, Walter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. 6,000? If they blew it out and they didn't try and limit it at all, they could pack in 6,000 people for NXT on a Friday night at 10 o'clock. And I could easily see that happening.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because NXT, it's on the rise. But they're being smart with it, though. They're keeping it small. And, you know, I'd rather expand than have to contract, so to speak, with it. Like, the mistake that TNA constantly made with booking venues that they had no business being in.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to see NXT doing that.
No, of course not.
And the WWE, not as dumb as TNA, so they don't do that. Anyway, on that happy note, WWE, maybe not as smart as you'd like them to be, but definitely smarter than TNA. Maybe that's the lesson we've learned here today. I don't know, but I'm still not all that excited for WrestleMania. How about you, Walter?
Well, we'll go more in depth on that next week and fill you all in on how bleh we are about WrestleMania 31. How about that?
Yeah, we will try our hardest to get excited about WrestleMania in the next 7 days, but we're not promising anything.
And we will try, and we will try, and we will fail, and we will fail.
Well, that's not the right attitude now, is it, Walder?
To try and get excited?
To try and fail. Well, you said we're going to fail, though.
Well, we'll pretend our asses off. How about that?
It could be the greatest Raw ever this week. You don't know.
The greatest.
Bill Simmons could take on Brock Lesnar.
Okay. This is why we need to stop.
Really?
Bill Simmons versus Brock Lesnar.
That's money.
Yep.
Bill Simmons getting F5'd is money. You heard it here first. Come back next week. We'll try and be entertaining, if not positive. Positive usually doesn't happen. Entertaining hopefully does. We'll talk to you next week, folks.